and hoisting over the blaze a cauldron, filling it brimful with bathing water, they piled fresh logs beneath and lit them quickly. The fire lapped at the vessel's belly, the water warmed. Meanwhile the queen had a polished chest brought forth from an inner room, and laid the priceless gifts inside, the clothes and gold the Phaeacian lords had brought, and added her own gifts, a cloak and a fine shirt, and gave her guest instructions, quick and clear, "Now look to the lid yourself, and bind it fast, with a good tight knot, so no one can rob you on your voyage, drifting into a sweet sleep as the black ship sails you home." Hearing that, the storm-tossed man secured the lid straightway. He battened it fast with a swift, intricate knot the Lady Circe had taught him long ago, and the housekeeper invited him at once to climb into a waiting tub and bathe, a hot, steaming bath. What a welcome sight to Odysseus's eyes! He'd been a stranger to comforts such as these since he left the lovely-haired Calypso's house, yet all those years he enjoyed such comforts there, never-ending, as if he were a god. And now, when maids had washed him, rubbed him down with oil, and drawn warm fleece and a shirt around his shoulders, he stepped from the bath to join the nobles at their wine. And there stood Nausicaa as he passed, beside a column that propped the sturdy roof. She paused, endowed by the gods with all her beauty, gazing at Odysseus right before her eyes. Wonderstruck, she hailed her guest with a winning flight of words, "Farewell, my friend, and when you are at home, home in your own land, remember me at times. Mainly to me you owe the gift of life." Odysseus rose to the moment, deftly, gently. "Nausicaa, daughter of generous King Alcinous, may Zeus the Thunderer, Hera's husband, grant it so, that I travel home and see the dawn of my return. Even at home I'll pray to you as a deathless goddess. All my days to come, you saved my life, dear girl." And he went and took his seat beside the king. By now they were serving out the portions, mixing wine, and the herald soon approached, leading the faithful bard Demodocus, prized by all the people, seated him in a chair amid the feasters, leaning it against a central column. At once, alert Odysseus carved a strip of loin, rich and crisp with fat, from the white-tusked boar that still had much meat left, and called the herald over. "Here, herald, take this choice cut to Demodocus, so he can eat his fill, with warm regards, from a man who knows what suffering is. From all who walk the earth, our bards deserve esteem and awe, for the muse herself has taught them paths of song. She loves the breed of harpers." The herald placed the gift in Demodocus's hands, and the famous blind bard received it overjoyed. They reached for the good things that lay outspread, and when they'd put aside desire for food and drink, Odysseus, master of many exploits, praised the singer. "I respect you, Demodocus, more than any man alive. Surely the muse has taught you, Zeus's daughter, or god Apollo himself. How true to life, all too true, you sing the Achaeans' fate, all they did and suffered, all they soldiered through, as if you were there yourself, or heard from one who was. But come now, shift your ground. Sing of the wooden horse Epeus built with Athena's help, the cunning trap that good Odysseus brought one day to the heights of Troy, filled with fighting men who laid the city waste. Sing that for me, true to life as it deserves, and I will tell the world at once how freely the muse gave you the god's own gift of song." Stirred now by the muse, the bard launched out in a fine blaze of song, starting at just the point where the main Achaean force, setting their camps afire, had boarded the oar-swept ships and sailed for home, but famed Odysseus's men already crouched in hiding in the heart of Troy's assembly, dark in that horse, the Trojans dragged themselves to the city heights. Now it stood there, looming, and round its bulk the Trojans sat debating, clashing days on end. Three plans split their ranks, either to hack open the hollow vault with ruthless bronze, or haul it up to the highest ridge and pitch it down the cliffs, or let it stand, a glorious offering made to pacify the gods, and that final plan was bound to win the day. For Troy was fated to perish once the city lodged inside her walls the monstrous wooden horse where the prime of Argive power lay in wait, with death.